God's gonna trouble the water. This is a prophetic song with lots of layers of meaning. It's a spiritual that was used by Harriet Tubman to teach runaway slaves to walk in the water so that hunting dogs used by slave catchers could not find them. The verses reflect the Israelites' escape out of their bondage in Egypt. And the chorus refers to a story in the book of John about healing. Those words say, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of water stepped in was made whole." Some translations of this verse use the language "stirring up the water" instead of "troubling the water," but the result remains the first person to step into the water is made whole. So the story is meant to encourage us to step into water that has been stirred up. Have you ever looked into water that's been stirred up in a natural setting? All that sediment that was on the bottom comes up. The water gets all murky and you can't see through it. So that all of a sudden, you can't see what's in there. So it can be frightening to step into a pool that's been stirred up. There could be crayfish in there, waiting to nibble at your toes. Or a sharp rock that could cut your foot. Or a deep spot where you could twist your ankle or even plunge into unexpectedly. Lots of things to fear in that murky, troubled water. Lots of reasons to stay out of it. And who here hasn't had their water troubled at some point in their lives? Who here hasn't been dealt some stirring up while trying just to move forward the best we can? When our waters are troubled, we're often faced with a choice on whether to enter that murkiness or make our way around the pool, if we can. What might motivate us to step into that troubled water? What could be worth the risk of nibbled toes or cut up feet or twisted ankles or sudden full immersion? Sister Simone Campbell is one of the nuns on the bus who have been traveling around the country bearing witness to and raising awareness of issues around poverty and immigration reform and voter rights and responsibilities. And as they bear witness, they advocate for compassionate public policy. Sister Simone was invited to address the attendees of the General Assembly of the Unitarian Universalist Association in June of this year, and oh boy, did she. She shared some of her faith journey with us, including her ideas around certitude and doubt and trouble. I quote, "Holy doubt is an essential element of holy faith. If we do not reverence our doubt, then we become the measure of control, of God, of living in our world, of trying to hold on and control everything that's happening. When you walk toward trouble, you open, well, my experience is that I open myself to two questions, to uncertainty, to risk, to knowing that I am not the measure or the controller of the situation. It's critical in our world at this time that we have the courage to walk into doubt as much as we walk into faith. Because quite frankly, if we don't have doubt, we don't have faith. If the only thing we have is certitude, that leaves us in a very righteous position. Walking toward trouble means we're willing to open ourselves to the surprise, to the 100% who has a different story, to different perspectives. So the importance," she goes on, "of being uncertain means that I live a life that is slightly disturbed, if you want to know the truth, and a bit puzzling. It has led me to surprising places like here and now, addressing thousands of Unitarian Universalists, this is my insertion, as a nun on the bus. But she says, being uncertain, I really describe as part of my spirituality. I describe my spirituality as walking willing to wherever we are led, walking willing toward trouble. For Sister Simone, walking toward trouble means seeing and hearing people of all kinds, of hearing the stories of the holders of power as well as those of the disenfranchised. It means visiting the tent cities and the detention centers and the low-income clinics and talking with the people there. But it includes meaning talking to those who are running those places and learning their stories. It means telling the stories of all the people she finds there in the hopes of moving people who can organize to change the systems that harm both the oppressed and the oppressors. It means allowing her heart to be broken open to see where the waters have been stirred up and to work toward getting others to let themselves be troubled. When I was planning on telling our story to the children, I was not planning on Ray saying, well, it all turns into goop and becomes a butterfly. It's going to be a little more of a mystical story than that. We do actually know what happens inside the cocoon during the transformation from caterpillar to butterfly, and Ray hit it right on the head. A big part of the caterpillar's body breaks down. It actually liquefies into what scientists call imaginal cells. And these imaginal cells can become any type of cell, the same way stem cells can in mammals. And then those imaginal cells put themselves back together into a whole new form, the butterfly. The caterpillar is stirred up, troubled, so the transformation can happen. I think this is how it is for us, too. If we will let ourselves, if we can let ourselves, we can find transformation by wading in the troubled waters. So I'm going to mix my metaphors now and lift up the value of resisting the urge to grab the canoe for stability when this happens. But this is really hard, especially when we carry that first metaphor through and remember that the caterpillar's body is liquefied on its way to transformation. How can we even begin to talk about gratitude for change when some of that change can be akin to being liquefied? I'll let you chuckle for a minute. It's a big deal. So I'm not about to preach that we can always be grateful for change. There are all kinds of things that hit us upside the head that it would be crazy to expect gratitude for. Things like personal experiences of loss or betrayal or violence. Experiences that cause us to feel deep grief, anger, fear. It's cruel to suggest the possibility of gratitude in the face of this kind of experience. Or like the beaten down feeling that can happen with the onslaught of bad news. And we've been having a lot of that. The people of Ferguson are on my mind and in my heart today as the grand jury decision on the indictment of Darren Wilson, the police officer who shot Michael Brown, becomes closer. I'm hearing that non-indictment is the most likely decision, and part of me asks, how can that be? And part of me cries, of course, what else do you expect? Gratitude feels impossible here too. But there are kinds of change we can embrace. There are kinds of change we can embrace if we have a little love and support. I can appreciate a computer upgrade, even though it means learning frustrating new versions of software. I can appreciate the challenge to nurture my best qualities in my ever-changing, ever-evolving relationship with a young daughter, even though that sometimes feels like plunging deeply into a murky pool. And I can open myself to the possibilities of stretching myself into my new relationship with this community, with all of you, despite having to be vigilant of the sharp stones of my own self-doubt in the bottom of this pool. I'm going to quote the wisdom of an ancient and trusted Unitarian Universalist source, the bumper sticker. I saw one recently that said, change is inevitable, growth is optional. When we can walk into the troubled water of our faith, we can learn to be less troubled by the change that immersing in it will affect. Because indeed, change is inevitable. Change happens every day to each of us and everything that is around us. Crisp autumn breezes one day, single-digit temperatures the next, and snow the day after that. This is true in our hearts as well. We change every time we interact with someone else, as we learn something new, and we get to decide what happens in our hearts as a result. Our water is going to get stirred up, and it's up to us whether we learn and grow from our experience. This is exemplified for me, and this is coming out of a study group that I was just part of this past week, where our topic was race, very timely, planned last year and very timely. My work to understand racism and then learn to fight it is exemplified in these ideas, this inner understanding of how to grow and change. It's been part of my spiritual journey, the understanding of how people of color have been othered by people who look like me throughout our country's history, and how all of us suffer as a result. So one of the ways I charge myself to wade into the troubled water is to learn how I can be an ally, the best ally I can be, to use my power and my privilege toward ending systemic racism. This journey has taken me through many murky pools, complacency, guilt, shame, and then compassion, and even here and there, gratitude. Gratitude for the company with which I travel on this transformative journey, and for the possibility of real growth and change in how I and how others who look like me treat people who don't look like me. It's just an example. Yours may be very different. And so the love and the faith and the community that we nurture here together can be what makes growth possible as we face the inevitable changes. This is where the gifts and blessings in our transitions come from. We can open our hearts, trusting that they will be not just broken, for they will be broken sometimes, but broken open, ready to be the place our emotional and our spiritual imaginal cells transform after they have been liquefied. We can practice this process of breaking our hearts open together, just like we exercise our bodies. In fact, we do. We practice it as we share our joys and sorrows and hold each other in the face of them. This keeps our hearts and our spirits supple, so we can, in turn, bear those experiences that bring us grief and pain. And so that we can approach doing some of the hard work of making justice and equity possible, so that we can walk toward trouble with hope and courage and, yes, gratitude. May it be so, and may we be so.